Okay, our next presentation from Luke Miller. Luke, you have to make it fast.
Will do. Aloha, everyone. My name is Luke Miller. As you mentioned, I am a master's student from the University of Georgia, and my topic will be on the assessment of crop coefficients for watermelon production. So crop coefficients are essentially the ratio of crop evapotranspiration to reference evapotranspiration, and it encompasses characteristics such as crop height, albedo, which is the reflectance of the crop soil surface, canopy resistance, as well as general evaporation. There are two primary models of crop coefficients. The ones I chose to look at were days after planting and growing degree days. Days after planting is essentially using a calendar method to predict when plant morphology development or how plant morphology development will progress, and it maps it out into four or five distinct phases depending on the model. However, this does not address differences in environmental conditions between years and does not address growing season temperatures. The growing degree day coefficients, however, do address environmental conditions by establishing a lower developmental threshold temperature, otherwise known as a base temperature, for which to calculate accumulated heat measurements. This is important because as crop growth, as crop stages advance, this will adjust the overall crop water use and will then affect irrigation scheduling. Irrigation scheduling is essentially using an optimal amount of water with optimal timing at the optimal placement. This is important research because mainly the research shows that surveys have seen that Georgian growers mainly use a field method for determining soil dryness, and some growers even wait until crop stress is observed. The advantages to irrigation scheduling are that it allows farmers to rotate irrigation, as well as it can mitigate the fertilizer costs that may be incurred due to leaching. The objectives of the study were to assess irrigation scheduling methods based on the yield we harvested, overall quality, and seasonal water usage, and ultimately to generate information for a specific irrigation scheduling app known as the Smart Irrigation Vegetable App, which seeks to use crop coefficients based on experienced environmental conditions which are best reflected by growing degree days instead of a days after planting model. So our methodology, the experiment was conducted in Tifton, Georgia, on a sandy loam where the plants were transplanted in late March and harvested from late June to mid-July. We used the variety of Melody, which was planted in dual row plots. Here you can see a picture. Our watermelon plots were adjacent to tomato plots throughout the growing season. Our treatments were the vegetable app, a traditional water balance method, and an automated soil moisture sensing system, which used aerometer tensiometers to maintain soil water tension between 0 and 18 kilopascals in our soil. 18 kilopascals was used because this is roughly 75% of field capacity. The vegetable app is fairly straightforward. It basically it asks the grower for field data such as row spacing, planting date, and so on. We'll combine that with the days after planting crop coefficient obtained from the University of Florida, and then combines that with weather data from a nearby weather station to determine reference evapotranspiration. So the idea is that estimated crop evapotranspiration would equal reference evapotranspiration times multiplied by the crop coefficient. And it estimates reference evapotranspiration using the Penman-Monteith method. Mainly, it will seek to look at solar radiation, wind speed, and air temperature, among other environmental variables. In order to monitor soil moisture tension throughout the year, we used watermark sensors placed at depths of 6, 10, and 14 inches. These then could relay information about soil water tension back to a smart sensor array at an hourly interval. In order to calculate degree days, I use the standard method of just calculating by determining the mean temperature of a particular day and then subtracting that from the base temperature for watermelons, which is this, in this case would be 55 degrees. From our study, we gleaned that the results we saw were not incredibly significant regarding yields. However, we did see that the checkbook method, otherwise known as the grower standard, was outproduced the other two irrigation scheduling methods when it came to marketable yields during our first harvest. Here is the table that I used for my crop coefficients throughout the year. This was provided by University of Florida, and these are based on this is based on data obtained from Southern Florida experiment in 2012. From our data, we saw that crop water use varied throughout the season. However, we saw that initial fruit set was observed around the 50-day mark, which was about 8 days later than the crop coefficients that we used predicted. Specifically, the reason we had to use these crop coefficients is because none exist for watermelons in southern Georgia or Georgia itself. We also observed that our initial harvest was at 93 days, and this was a bit further off from what the crop coefficients stipulated in the University of Florida's methodology predicted, roughly by about a week to 3 weeks. And as far as our quality measurements went, we saw that Brix levels were nearly identical, as you can see from the chart. I looked at firmness levels as well, and these were also not significantly different. And I rated hollow heart incidents and found that these were not significantly different between treatments either. In discussion, our crop coefficients predicted earlier fruit set and initial harvest than was observed. This was mainly due to the fact that these were not specific to southern Georgia, and the most specific crop coefficients we could obtain were from northwest Florida and southern Florida. However, and this is because no crop coefficients exist yet for watermelon in southern Georgia. Our quality was not significantly different between irrigation regimes. Mainly, I've noticed that typically it takes about a 25% difference in irrigation treatment exhibited by deficit irrigation scheduling research. Typically, 75% of the evapotranspiration methods irrigated by will generate different, significantly different quality results. In conclusion, we found that the traditional water balance generated about 9% greater yields during the first harvest. However, the vegetable app generated 7% greater yields after subsequent harvests were completed. These results were not significant, however, they do display positive trends for each treatment. The days after planting model overall was determined by myself to be imprecise regarding changing crop phenology phases, and we found that growing degree days of 750 to 800 growing degree days best represented our particular experience with initial fruit set. Subsequently, 1900 and 1950 growing degree days were correlated to initial harvest, and late harvest was 2,150 to 2,250 growing degree days. In the future, crop coefficient development will be crucial for southern Georgian farmers to allow for proper irrigation scheduling. Also, evaluating the vegetable app and traditional water balance methods will be encouraged in future research under growing degree day conditions. And I also would like to look at watermelon growing degree day maturity thresholds, as these have not been specifically elaborated on by current research. I'd also like to thank the USDA Crops Specialty Crop Block Grant for providing funding for my research, my major advisor Tim Coulong, the UGA Tipton staff for assisting with the research, and Dr. George Valitis. I'll be happy to take any questions, and thank you for your attention.
We actually have time for a couple of questions for Luke.
Yes, sir. Yes, we did. We did save water. However, the soil moisture sensor. I'm sorry. He asked if the vegetable app had saved any water over the season. Although I did not display the data, we did. We saved about 20%. We had about 20% water savings compared to the traditional checkbook method. However, that was not the most effective use of water. the soil moisture sensor systems created a slightly larger generation of water savings. Yes. I'm sorry? I did not look at water use efficiency at this point because we had only estimated versions of evapotranspiration. We didn't use less emitters. I know some studies have calculated water use efficiency based on estimated evapotranspiration, but I elected not to do so. So I'm not entirely sure. You mean based on time or? Well, overall, the vegetable lab had water savings compared to one of the treatment methods and did produce the largest total yield. So I would expect that water use efficiency would be slightly higher in that treatment than the checkbook method. And then as far as the soil moisture treatment goes, I'm not entirely sure because the differential in yield to water use may not be significant enough to see any real change. Yes. Yes, sir.
Was that weather station specifically an ETO station, or was it just a weather station?
I understand. No, it does use a pan evaporation technique to determine evapotranspiration rates. I don't think it's included in the picture. I didn't take a great one. But yes, it does calculate evapotranspiration. Maybe not. It may not have shown in the picture that. There is, yes. I had to convert it in later analysis, but I didn't include it in the presentation.
All right, thank you. Let's stop it right there.